Welcome to Health Cetera in the Catskills on WIOX Community Radio, live and local in the Catskill Mountains. I'm Diana Mason, the host of this program, where we focus on the impact of local, state, national, and global issues on the health of the individuals, families, and communities in the central Catskill region. I want to welcome back to Health Cetera in the Catskill Joan Lawrence Bauer, a reporter for the reporter, who is here to talk with us about two issues that that newspaper has been covering. Welcome back for this monthly conversation, Joan.
Thank you, Diana. It's always nice to be with you.
So let's start with talking a little bit about the arts. Now, the arts, to me, are crucial to health in a whole lot of ways. They help us all to think and feel more deeply about our world and ourselves, and can often just really lift our spirits. But there are other dimensions to art that you have explored, and the AMR Open Studios Tour is a great example of the richness of the arts in so many ways. So tell us about the AMR Arts Tour that's in our community.
Well, I'd be happy to speak to that. I do want to add to what you just said first, though, when you spoke about how arts lift our spirits and help our mental health. Art, particularly music, also rewire our brains. They help us with math. They help us with all kinds of other things. So they're absolutely critical to our overall well-being.
Great.
I maintain, after the AMR Open Studios Tour this week, that they are also absolutely critical to our local economy. Mm. And I think that's something that we don't stop and think about often enough.
Yeah.
This tour is just an amazing event that happens every year.
For people who may not know about it, say what it is.
Okay, well, A is for Andes, M is for Margaretville, and R is for Roxbury. While there are, Bovina is also included, and Fleischmann's and Hawkinsville, it's this greater Andes, Margaretville, Roxbury area that we're covering. And what happens is once a year, artists who are living and working in this area open their studios. They open their workplaces, and they invite people in for 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the last weekend in every July. Mm-hmm. And this is an opportunity to not just see their works, but to see how their works are made, what they use, what inspires them, how they work. And it only happens once a year, but it's very exciting when it happens.
So did you partake in that tour this weekend, this last weekend?
I did indeed. I have participated in every AMR studio tour since they got this effort underway. This year, there were 45 different artists participating. Think about that. 45 different businesses. These are business people who are living and working permanently in this area for most of them, and who are paying taxes, who are shopping in our local stores, and who are generating their revenue from the art that they produce and sell.
Yeah, and I'm seeing more and more galleries open up.
Yes, for sure. While we do get to see their studios on this once-a-year event, most of the time, where we're seeing their work is in the local galleries. Long Ear Gallery, Art Up Gallery, those two in Margaretville. In Fleischmann's, we have the 1053 Gallery. In Andes, we have Hawk and Hive. And I could go on. There are so many, it's really hard to remember where they all are. In Delhi, we have the Bushel. And it's really amazing to stop and think. And this year, when I was visiting these places and talking with these artists, I was talking with some of them about the economy. And people will be able to read stories about how the artists are influencing our economy in the next couple weeks in the Reporter.
Great. Yeah, I wasn't able to make it last weekend, but when I've gone in the past, it's been amazing sometimes to watch the artists do their work in their studios. But also, I've bought some of the artwork of these yeah. artists when I've gone on these tours.
I will admit to being a bit of a collector myself, so it's always exciting to be out on this.
Well, it's great, and it's great to highlight their work. So you've also been covering a very complex issue, and that has to do with the watershed agreement. This is the fourth one that was signed with New York City in December. So let's start with what is this agreement about, and then what are the issues around this fourth agreement?
Okay, well, the base issue is that the city of New York has to prove to the federal government that it keeps its water clean. And if they can't prove to the federal government that they keep their water clean, then the government will make them spend billions and billions of dollars to filter that water. So they work every 10 years to renew what's called a filtration avoidance determination. And that process is well underway right now. In order to guarantee that they keep their water clean without filtering it, they have to control what goes into the water in their watershed, which means where we live. We live right in the heart of the Catskill watershed. So for 40 years, they have struck agreements with we people who live here in the watershed where we give up some of our rights in exchange for some economic benefits from the city. So we have this memorandum of agreement that was first signed way back in 1997, and every 10 years there's a new one. And the last of the fourth supplemental agreement is what it's actually called, was signed in December. And it has a lot of different features explaining how the city and the watershed towns are going to cooperate with each other. Well, one of the very new items in this last agreement, one we never thought we'd see, is an agreement to consider land exchanges and swaps in which the city would collaborate with the communities to explore opportunities for swapping city-owned properties that the local area wants for properties that might be more important to the city that the city wants. Hmm. And this agreement is brand new. Nobody knows how it's going to work. Nobody knows if it's going to work. But it has raised some great concerns in the area.
Yeah, talk about what some of those concerns are.
Well, when the city bought land from farmers or from communities, they bought land that they theoretically needed because it was critical to protecting their source water. Mm-hmm. So now the city owns all these lands that it's been buying for 40 years. And when the land was purchased, the city provided easements that said nothing would ever be developed on the land that they had purchased. Hmm. But now there's conversation about swapping some of those lands back to the town so that they can be developed. Hmm. And some of the things that they might possibly be developed for, as mentioned in the agreement, are solar arrays and other kinds of energy-producing developments. There are others that could be considered, but that is one of the things that's mentioned. They could be developed for cell towers and mm-hmm. things like that. So there's a big concern about if this is going to happen. Where is it going to happen, and how is it going to happen?
So help me understand here, the swap. So they can't develop the land that they currently own, so they would swap for land that they then would not fall under the agreement, but that they could then, let's say, build a solar field on.
Theoretically, yes.
Okay.
Now, there are a lot of constraints on that. That might not be legal. It might not be possible. But what has happened since the last time I talked to you, and what the big news is here, is that during the last 6 months, the city of New York has developed a very specific list of what properties it wants to get developed. And the towns in the watershed have also developed their own specific list of properties that they would like to see developed. So these two lists have just come out. And so now we don't know how it's going to happen. We don't know if it's going to happen, but we have a clue as to where it's going to happen if it happens.
So the towns would, this would be having to be approved by the towns, any swap, and knowing that if the land is swapped, that the city could do what it wanted with it.
Well, yes and no. That's all up in the air. But the most important thing is that the towns in the watershed, there are five counties here. We're talking about Delaware, Greene, Sullivan, Schoharie, and Ulster. So each of those counties has identified a number of properties. The biggest number is in Delaware County. 63 properties have been identified. And so we can look at that list and we can know where those properties are, and we can say, huh, I wonder if I'd like that to be done or not. Now, before those properties got onto that list, each of the town supervisors in the towns where those properties are located probably weighed in and said, yeah, I agree, that's a good property. So this is something that each and every person should be talking to their individual town supervisor about, to find out which properties are in their town and what the town supervisor's thinking might be. Now, the city has not yet released its list to us. We have seen the town list, but the city has told us that we need to foil their list and that we probably won't see it until December, though there is one city official working with me now to try to get that list released. We do know that there were 98 properties on the town, the collective town list, and there are 70 properties reportedly on the city's list. Of all of those properties, only 11 properties are on both lists.
So
there would be a lot of negotiation to be done.
So the properties on the town's list are properties that they want to buy, or that they're willing to have be part of the swap? That
they would be willing to have part of the swap.
Okay. And so New York City has said these are properties that we would be willing to swap on our list. Is that right?
Yes,
that's what will come out by December?
Well, yeah, correct. It's already out. It's already been delivered to the, it's been delivered to the counties, and it's been delivered to the Catskill Watershed Corporation, and they've all had a chance to look at it. It's just that the general public has not had a chance to look. The people who have looked at it have told us that of the 98 properties that the towns identified and the 70 properties that the city identified, there are only 11 that are on both lists.
And
so that's probably where they would start.
I see. So, but if the 11 properties are on both lists, those are properties that towns are saying we'd be willing to give up, and the city is saying we'd want to swap, we would want to take. Okay, gotcha.
So the only thing they would have to decide is how it's going to work.
I see.
Theoretically.
Wow. And
it's all theory.
Yeah, and just the solar fields are so contentious right now that it just seems a little bit surprising, given that some of these towns have a moratorium on approving any solar fields again.
Right.
It seems like that could be quite a contentious issue.
It could, and quite honestly, solar fields is just one of the many, many things.
Yeah.
I mean, to be honest, you're looking, so there's a situation here in the town of Middletown where the city owns a property and the town of Middletown owns a property. Those two properties are almost adjacent to each other, but not quite. The town of Middletown would like to develop some affordable housing on the property that the city owns. So what the town of Middletown would like to do is they would like to swap their piece of property for the next door city piece of property so that they could build some affordable housing. Now, that might be a good thing. It wouldn't be a net loss of vacant property because we'd still have the same amount of vacant property. But it's not legal right now because the easements that were conveyed when the properties were sold say they will be forever wild. Now, the people who control those easements are the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation. Thus far, the state has said, no, we're not going to let you do any of this.
Wow.
But
no swaps? No swaps?
It's a long way off, but...
So the state can nix the swaps.
Yes, and thus far they have.
Oh, that's quite interesting. Okay.
It is. The only concern is that the state also has a keen interest in what the state considers to be green and renewable energy. And it's an election year, and who knows what happens after the election.
Yeah.
If the state decides, well, maybe we will let that happen. Maybe we will let you alter those easements.
Yeah. You know, Joan, I remember reading a report several years ago that looked at the two strategies New York City was using to protect the water that you spoke, you know, that would otherwise have to be filtered. And one was buying up the land around, or particularly around the reservoirs and where there is a lot of water that goes into those reservoirs. And the other was replacing septic systems, really helping property owners to upgrade their septic systems that may be deteriorated. And the report said that it was the septic system work that really made the difference. So that now if my septic system fails, I can get it repaired and get it reimbursed for that repairman by under that agreement. And so it really speaks to whether the land approach really has been a worthwhile thing, or is it getting us, is this going to become more more controversial?
Well, the septic systems have been instrumental. There's no question about that. The city has, through the CWC, has spent millions and millions and continues to spend millions and millions. And they don't just replace them. They also now help to pay for the maintenance of them. And that's a very important part of this agreement. Another important part of this agreement are wastewater treatment plants in the communities. So we all have these big wastewater treatment plants. And now even small places like Hawkinsville has a wastewater treatment plant. And that's another big piece of this puzzle. But and the city has basically over the last 10 years admitted that maybe it bought a little more land than it needed, and that maybe it didn't need to buy any more land in certain places. And they have, over the last decade, they have really become much more conservative in how much land they buy. But they spent 30 years buying a lot of land.
Yeah.
And now the question becomes what to do with it all.
Yeah. Well, it certainly is an important issue for everybody to keep their eye on, and as you said, to reach out to their town supervisors and ask them for what their town has put on the table and see how far we can get on that. And you mentioned FOIA, and that is the Freedom of Information Act. So the idea that we're not going to get that public information without jumping through some hoops, at least not until before December, but you expect after December for that to be public or not?
The formal freedom of information request will not be answered before December, which in and of itself is against the law, but hey, who's counting?
Yeah.
But I do have to say that for the most part, The city has been cooperative, and the Catskill Watershed Corporation is incredibly cooperative. As an organization, that organization is not even required to follow the Freedom of Information Act, but it does, and it's very transparent. So I'm hopeful that I won't have to wait until December.
Yeah, good, good. So you do this reporting for The Reporter, and it's really good reporting, Joan. I really appreciate the investigative work that you do on many of these issues. Anything you want to alert listeners to that's coming up in the next issue?
No, this story will be covered in depth in the next issue, as will a bunch of related stories to other parts of this agreement, which are not happening. You know, they had 6 months to do this land swap thing, and boy, they jumped right on it. Mm. A lot of the other stuff in the agreement is not happening, and that's of concern as well. And there will also be stories about these AMR tours and... and a great story about some high school kids who painted a mural in a building in a child advocacy center in Delaware County.
Awesome, awesome. Well, for people who may not already subscribe to The Reporter and they might want to read these stories, you can do so online. And how do they do that?
Online, you go to the-reporter.net. Stories. The other way is to just go to your local CVS, Freshtown, Speedway, Sunoco, and buy a print copy on Thursday.
Right. So one more time, that is the-reporter.net. And you can subscribe online and get access to it all the time or pick it up in those local stores. Well, Joan Lawrence Bauer, thank you so much for coming back on to our monthly chat about what's in The Reporter. I really appreciate the work you do. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Diana. We appreciate you. Keep up the good work.